Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our holy gospel this morning is from the first chapter of St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and full of truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Okay, so does anyone have a New Year's resolution they'd like to share? Raise your hand. Anybody? Anybody? No? No New Year's resolutions out there? My goodness gracious. I bet there are a few. In fact, I guarantee you. Each year, though, I have to confess that I feel rather guilty about not making certain resolutions that I know that I should make, right? Like slow down my chocolate consumption. I know that that's one I need to make, I know. But I happen to like chocolate a whole lot. And to be quite honest, I don't want to change my chocolate consumption, even though that I know I should. Ugh, change is always so hard, isn't it? There's an old story in the Navy about a ship's captain who inspected his sailors and afterward told the chief mate that his men just smelled bad. So the captain suggested maybe if they would just change their underwear occasionally, you know? So the chief responded, aye, sir, I'll take care of this immediately. And the chief went to the sailor's deck and announced, the captain thinks you guys smell bad, and he wants you to change your underwear. Pittman, you change with Jones. McCarthy, you change with Rogers. Smith, you change with Davis. Change. A lot of folks have a hard time thinking about change. You know, in counseling situations, that's when folks tend to head for the door and never come back whenever you suggest that there might be change in their future. But today, I have to say to you that I'm going to talk a wee bit about change, in large part because the Bible talks an awful lot about change. It seems like every single time someone encounters God, there's some kind of contact with the Lord, that there's this sudden movement towards change. For example, Jacob's on the outs with his brother. He runs away from home. God knocks him down in the wilderness. Time for change, he says. King David thought he could do anything he wanted, so he had an affair with his neighbor next door and killed her husband in order to hide it all. But no big deal. He's the king. He can do whatever he wants until the prophet Nathan shows up and knows everything and says simply, David, you got to change. Moses, pretty comfortable out there in the wilderness until he ran into this thing called a burning bush. And, well, that would change his life, of course. And Jonah. Seems like all we seem to remember about Jonah is him getting swallowed by a whale. But the story is about God confronting Jonah about his prejudice. He wanted Jonah to change his attitude towards those he hated the most. And then there's Mary. We've talked a little bit about Mary over these last few weeks, haven't we? The teenage girl from Nazareth, you know her story. The angel, Gabriel, he shows up and says, Mary, hold on to your skirt because I'm getting ready to rock your world. There's a change that's coming. Here's the point. Encounter with God almost always involves an element of change, which, if we're honest, is a big reason lots of folks do their very best to avoid any kind of encounter with God. We just don't like change. Or better, and maybe it is this more so, we don't like being told that we have to change. Here's what I mean. Today, we celebrate the age-old festival of the Epiphany. Outside of Easter, Epiphany is the oldest celebration in the Christian church. It's the oldest festival in the Christian church. It's celebrated since the early 4th century. It's even older than Christmas, since it wasn't very common in those days to celebrate the birthdays of significant people. Instead, Epiphany, which literally means to appear, to make known, at Epiphany, celebrated the appearance of God as the light of the world. Or as the Gospel of John would say, in the way that John introduces Jesus, the Word would be made flesh. The story that's most often told on Epiphany Sunday is the story of the wise men, the Magi, who came from afar to visit Jesus. Now, since Bethlehem was not in their jurisdiction, they were from all the four corners of the earth, it was protocol for traveling leaders to visit the ruler in the region that they were traveling through to seek his or her permission. So that's what the wise men were doing when the Bible says in Matthew's gospel, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked King Herod, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? Now, King Herod, we've talked a little bit about Herod over the last few weeks as well. You might remember he's a pretty suspicious kind of guy. So when he heard these wise men ask him about the king of the Jews, and he figured out that they weren't talking about him, because, you know, he thought he was the king of the Jews. He liked for others to call him the king of the Jews. And when they were talking about some other king of the Jews, well, he was ticked. He was more than that. He was furious. But he was also smart. Tell me, he said, tell me about this king. And they promptly said that they had been following a bright star. And the prophecy was clear that when there is a star pointing, that it is an indication of the birth of a king. So Herod called up his sages, his scholars, and he asked about the star and kings and prophecies, and they searched through the scriptures, and they found in Malachi the rising of a bright star over the little town of Bethlehem would announce the birth of a king, the king of the Jews. Now, when the wise men heard of the prophecy, tingles just went up and down their spine. But when Herod heard of it, he was filled with fear. It's interesting, isn't it? Both saw the same star. Both saw the same light of that star. Both heard the same name of Jesus, but both reacted in dramatically different ways. Why? Because they both knew that an encounter with this King of Kings would dramatically change their lives. And the wise men, they were ready, but Herod was not. What about you? I mean, a lot of times, if we're honest, and I know I'm speaking of myself, and maybe I'm speaking for you too, if we're honest, we're a wee bit like Herod, aren't we? I mean, we're sort of afraid and worried that Jesus will challenge our own sense of who we are and where our place is in this world, our own sense of security, maybe even our own sense of authority or our own sense of power, the way we think things should be in this world and in my family, in my neighborhood, in my environment. But I wonder if what Herod needed, and us too, was really more a change of perspective. You see, Herod saw the light of the star as a threat to his way of thinking about the world. The wise men, though, saw it as a gift. What if Herod, likewise, would have seen the star as a gift? When I was in my second year of seminary, I was serving as a youth director in Columbia, South Carolina. I had just finished a class in Hebrew, which did not go well. Let's just put it like that. And my coursework just was not turning me on. I wasn't in the groove, and I just wasn't in the game, if you know what I mean. I started to question whether or not seminary was the right place for me and whether this vocation was really where I needed to be. On top of that, I had just discovered that one of our youth members had been horribly abused by his parents, and he had been taken from his home. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I felt like I was in a very, very dark place. Well, after youth one Sunday night, maybe it was 8 o'clock in the evening, I don't know, it was dark out, and all the kids and the advisors had left, and I was walking back to my office. Now, this office was a separate building from where the youth area was, but this building once served as the sanctuary. It was the old sanctuary. They had built a new, bigger sanctuary, and so this area, this sanctuary, is being converted into offices. In the renovation, the enormously large stained glass window that was sort of the defining point of this sanctuary at the very front of the church, it was covered up with plywood so that nothing would happen to it. And while this area was going to be turned into, the chancel area was going to be turned into a reception area and the entryway to our offices. Anyway, when I opened up the door into this entryway, I turned on the light since it was dark, but it wouldn't turn on. So I tried to turn it on again, it wouldn't turn on, it didn't work. But about that time, I saw that the plywood had been removed. I hadn't noticed it, I guess, earlier in the week. And for the first time, I saw this stained glass window hiding behind it. It was the image of a dramatically large and beautiful Jesus, the Good Shepherd, carefully holding a sheep and then guiding a flock of sheep around him. Now, thanks to the dawn-to-dusk light that was just outside the building, the window literally lit up the room. An enormously large image of the Good Shepherd looking down on me, as it turns out. I mean, it literally felt like I was part of the flock that he was guiding. And I know that all sounds corny, but it was one of those private moments that we've all had that just sent me straight to tears. The light of this window shining into the darkness of my life, it was a gift of God's grace. During the season of Epiphany, which lasts, by the way, from now until the beginning of Lent, which is the season just before Easter, we'll tell story after story of the ways in which God breaks into our lives with the light of his peace. Where has God been breaking into your life and into your world? Has it provoked fear for you? Or have you received it as a gift from God? In what ways has God been bursting into your world with, I don't know, maybe a new discovery, or maybe it's an opportunity or a message? What person has God placed in your world who has been the very presence of God's light for you? What has challenged you today or recently? Maybe in a very dramatic and tough way. Have you faced that challenge with fear? Or is it possible that this challenge might reveal to you God's greater glory? The bottom line is this: God's light is shining. It's shining in your light. It's shining in this world. Whether you know it or not, it is shining. Like the bright star of Bethlehem, it's shining for you and for all people, and so that we might see and accept and embrace this bright and beautiful light. Its purpose is to shine in your dark places. It's the only purpose that it brings, is to illuminate your path. Its ultimate goal is to be, as John proclaims in his gospel, a light that no darkness can overcome. Now, for far too many years, the church has been trying to scare you into heaven, either with guilt or with horrible images of hell and fire and brimstone. Don't listen to that. Okay? Instead, listen to Jesus. I mean, reflect on the beautiful and powerful words of Jesus. Search scriptures for the ways in which he comes to you as the light of the world, as the bread of life, right? I mean, because it's Jesus who comes to us as this light of life for all. It's his great desire, after all, to illuminate your path, because he knows it can be an awfully dark journey out there sometimes. It's how John begins his gospel. Did you notice? I mean, John is introducing his gospel. He's telling us about who Jesus is, not with stories about shepherds and angels and mangers and stables. He begins with this beautifully profound image of Jesus as the light of the world. Listen to it again. In the beginning, recapturing that these are the first three words of Scripture. When we're first introduced to God, we're introduced to God yet again. In the beginning, as Genesis told us, and now as John's gospel tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things in heaven and on earth, at the dawn of creation, all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and guess what? This life, it was the light and continues to be the light for all people. And this light shines in the darkness. That's its purpose, because the darkness will not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and full of truth. So who is this Jesus, according to John? He is the light of the world, and he wants to be the light of your world, which is amazing, isn't it? But you want to know something even more amazing? Later on, Jesus looks to us and says, now, you be the light. In other words, Jesus asks us to accept his light so that we might reflect his light, so that we might be his light, share his light with others. Be the light. Several years ago, I had the privilege of leading the funeral procession of a friend. It was my job to carry in a very large candle, what we call the Paschal candle, an enormously large candle that is also known as the Easter candle or the candle of resurrection. What it truly does symbolically is to point to the light of Christ. It is the light of Christ. Well, anyway, we had just left the family room where family members were rather somber. Some were tears of grief. As the procession began, I was asked to hold the candle high enough so that everyone present could see. And it suddenly made sense to me that in the midst of darkness, in the midst of sadness, even in the midst of death, there is light. The light of Jesus. Because Jesus' purpose is to illuminate my path. Carrying that light, everything came together for me. I didn't want to follow my own path. I only wanted to follow the path of Christ, to experience his amazing love. I only wanted to embrace a light no darkness will ever overcome. I wanted only to be that very same light for all the world to see. How about you? Maybe as we jump into this new year, maybe this might be the resolution we can all cling to be the light. And all that you say and all that you do, and the decisions that you make and the encounters you have with one another, whether at school, at home, abroad, wherever you are, to be the light for the sake of the world. Amen.